So, we're going to look at one verse in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, and then we're going to use Ezekiel as our example of this. So again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." I'll read that last part again. It says, "But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Well, let's turn over to Ezekiel. That verse is basically saying, it's basically telling us the thing that's so natural for us to compare and look at others and what they have and what they're going through and what they're not going through and what you might be going through, and compare and say, well, why me, and why am I going through but not them? And why aren't I achieving this when everyone else is? And the Bible says, when you measure yourself by yourselves and you compare yourself against yourselves, when you look at others, you're not wise. He's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. And we're going to look at Ezekiel, because Ezekiel is one of the, it has a life that God made him do things that were very different. They were very strange. They were not the norm. And as you read through Ezekiel, you wonder, why? Why such a strange thing? Why did God make him do such strange things? And so we're going to look at some of that. Ezekiel is filled with this kind of thing that God made him do. Ezekiel was in the time when Nebuchadnezzar was ransacking Jerusalem, and as we looked at when we were in Esther, there were three different periods when he raided Jerusalem and carried away people each time. Well, Ezekiel was in the second batch. They say around 10,000 people, and somewhere around 597 BC. So Ezekiel was carried away. Daniel, he was prophesying and living in the same time. He was in the first batch of people that went away. But Ezekiel came a little bit after. And so now he's living in captivity under the reign of Jehoiakim. And actually, if you read through Ezekiel, he bases everything on that time frame. So he says, this is in the fifth year of our captivity of Jehoiakim. You could read through it. It's actually quite interesting. So in Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to read a couple of verses in verse 25. So 3:25, it says this: "And you, O son of man, surely they will put ropes on you and bind you with them, so that you cannot go out among them. I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be mute and not be one to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth." Do you get what God's doing here? He's saying, Ezekiel, you're going to be mute unless I have something that I want you to say to your people. You're not going to be able to talk unless I open your mouth. God made him do all kinds of strange things. This is what, this lasted for 7 years. Because later, around Ezekiel 22 or 33, I can't remember which one, God finally says, okay, I'll make you talk again. And Ezekiel dates the time, and he says it's in the 12th year. And this happened around the 5th year. So it was 7 years that Ezekiel couldn't even talk, except when he was prophesying for the Lord. What a strange thing. What an odd thing. And so instead of always talking, God made his life a symbol. And what we see in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse number 4, God continues and tells him, do this strange thing. In verse 4, he says, "Lie also on your left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of days that you lie on it. You shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity according to the number of days, 390 days. So you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side. Then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. So God makes Ezekiel no voice, but he says, I have a job for you. I want you to lie on your left side for over a year. Now, he wasn't there 24 hours a day. You know, we read elsewhere that he was cooking and he had things to do. He certainly wasn't doing that while he's lying down. But for a part of the day, and I don't know how much, it's not really clear, God said, lie on your side. 390 days. And if that's not enough, when you're done with those 390 days, now flip over. And I want you to lie on your side for 40 days. As a side note, I kind of identified with Ezekiel. After my surgery, all I could do was lie on one side. And it happened to be the left side. I'm not Ezekiel. But God made me do this. I couldn't move. I had to stay on one side, and it was at least a year. And then after that year was up, something else happened, and I had to turn over, and I could only lie on the other side, and that was for a shorter period of time. So I identify a little bit with Ezekiel. I'm not Ezekiel. I just can identify with what he was doing here. But if Ezekiel took, and you could go on, and you could read strange thing after strange thing after strange, and some of them are even more weird. Some of them are even more weird. You only have to go a few more verses to find other stuff that's even more strange. But God said, do it. Now Ezekiel, if he's like us, he would look around and he would say, well, what about all the other prophets? When I look at what they're doing, they don't have to do this stuff. They could talk. They don't have to be lying on their side all day. They don't have to be doing these strange things. They don't have to be housebound like I'm housebound. They don't have to do this. He could have said, look at Daniel. He's in the palace. He's getting fed what the king supplies him. But that's comparing yourself with someone else. And God tells us in his word, this is not a wise thing to do. When you start comparing yourself with others, it's not a wise thing to do. And Ezekiel had all the reason in the world. Come on, God. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to go through this? Because God has wired us each differently. God has made us uniquely individual. Each one has different strengths. Each one has different abilities. Each one has different tolerances. And God knows them all. And God treats us all individually based on what he has given us. He's given us a certain amount of grace to go through the things that we're going through. And he requires that. Now for us, we look at things in a totally different light. We like to compare. We like to look at what everybody else is doing and say, why not me? And how come me? And why don't I have the same opportunity and the same thing that someone else has? It's kind of like I view God as this chemist that's kind of mixing all these different personality traits into a person. Well, this one I'm going to give a little bit more leadership, and this one I'm going to give a little bit more. I'm going to give a little more mercy to that one, and I'm going to give a little bit more giving heart to someone else. It's like God is just mixing all these things up, and you kind of see it if you're in a family and you see your brothers and your sisters or your husband. Everybody's different. Everybody has differences and different ways of looking at things. One might have no tolerance for a certain thing, and the other one might be so giving and so compassionate. And you wonder, how did these siblings come from the same set of parents? Because God has made us all differently. And so we can't compare ourselves against ourselves because God has made us all so very different. And we don't know the mix. We don't know what God has given one as opposed to another. And so we are not wise when we go down that road. We're each given a different amount of grace for whatever the situation is that we're in. God has given those things to us. But we tend to look at what's fair. And we measure fairness. We measure fairness by what others are getting as well. So we look at someone else, and it's kind of like, do you remember, have you ever been there when maybe there's a couple of kids, and they have candy, and they're passing out candy, and one will say, okay, one for me, and one for you. And now, one for you, and two for me. And then it's one for you, and three for me. And it isn't long before the kid with the three says, hey, that's not fair. He says, this is not right. He could see immediately, this is not correct. And we look at each other and we say, this is not fair. Because I'm going through something much more difficult than somebody else, or I have not achieved what somebody else has achieved. And we say, it's not fair. But God measures fairness in a different way. We measure fairness one against another. We compare one against another. We measure one against another. But God measures fairness by what He's given you. God measures fairness by what He's given you. He requires what He's given you. He doesn't look at, well, what's fair? What is it among multiple people? Because God in His Word, it says, to whom much is given, much is required. Well, in that, it tells us that some are going to be required to do more than others, and some are going to be required to be able to handle more things, and some are going to have more responsibility than others, and some, everything is going to be different, but what you've been given, God is going to require. So as God mixes in the mix, as God puts in to you the things that He wants to put into you, then God requires them of us. And as you begin to look throughout the Bible, you see this example all over the place. You see the parable of the talents where God says, to one I give five, and to another I give two, and to another I give one. The outcry there isn't, hey, how come he has five and I only have two? And the person with one doesn't say, hey, it's not fair. Because God gives to each one something different. Now in that parable, it dawned on me as I was thinking about this, that even the one with one has gotten something huge. Now don't think talent is the ability to play a piano. That's not the kind of talent that we're talking about. A talent that Jesus was referring to is a weight. It's a measure. The measure is around 75 pounds, and some say it's higher than that, but it's at least 75 pounds. And usually it's talking about silver or gold. So even the one with one talent, 75 pounds of silver or gold, he has something huge. We're all given something huge. It's not that we're all given something, one is given this little bitty thing. Because many times I used to think, well, the guy with one, hey, you know, I think it's like a coin or something like that. And, you know, just take a little shovel with one hand and then all of a sudden you bury it and then that's it. And this is, to bury an object 75 pounds, this guy had to do work. He had to do a lot of work to bury something that was 75 pounds. It's huge. It's big. We're all given something large. We're all given something huge and precious and worth an immense amount, whether it's one or it's two or it's five. We're all given something huge. And you might not have what I have, and I certainly don't have what you have. But God decides. And God requires. And God requires it back. And so we don't compare one against another, because the Bible says it's not wise. Because we're all different. Because God is the one who has made us the way we are, and God will require things different of each one of us. And many times what happens when we start comparing, we look at our strengths, and another byproduct of this is we get frustrated at other people who don't have our strength. You might have all the self-discipline in the world, and you could wake up at 4 in the morning and you could pray for 3 hours and that's no problem for you. But then somebody else tells you, oh, they're struggling to pray like 15 minutes. Oh my goodness, it's so hard for me and I can't concentrate and all that. And you're thinking to myself, my goodness, I could pray 10 times that you could pray. And it's so easy to be frustrated with others because what you have as a strength, they might not have as a strength. And it's just another example of how we compare one to another. And the Bible says, don't do this. This is not a wise thing to do. You're made differently. Don't compare one against another. And many times we get from this kind of thinking, we get the wonderful advice. You know, when you're going through something difficult, have you ever had somebody come up to you and you tell them all the things that are going through your mind and you're struggling, and all of a sudden somebody comes up with the pearl of wisdom and they say, well, just stop worrying about it. Really? Oh my goodness, I never thought about that. Just stop worrying. What are you, Solomon? This is great. I would have never thought to just stop worrying. My goodness, this is great. Let me write that down. You know, we get these pearls of wisdom at these times. Just stop worrying. You know, don't worry. Okay. Right? Or they tell you, well, don't feel bad about it. Okay. Don't feel bad about it. Sometimes this is just the way God made you. And sometimes spouses realize that. Right? One is more sensitive than the other, and the one that's not sensitive, they wonder, what's going on? I remember when we were first married, Fran and I were watching some program. It was called Rescue 911. Rescue 911. And we're looking at it, and we're watching this program, and something's happening. I have no idea what was happening, but Fran is crying about the person that's in need of rescue. And I'm looking at the person, and I'm kind of unmoved. And she looks at me like, you're a monster. You're a monster. Don't you see compassion from her? And me, I said, it's called Rescue 911. That means he's going to be rescued. And she said, you're a monster. No, she didn't say that. But I think that's the look that was in her eyes. Who are you? Don't you feel for the person? And me, I come from the logical place and I say, well, he's gonna be okay. We're all different. We're all different. God made us all different. So we can't compare one to another, because it's not wise. It's not the smart thing to do. We can't compare. And not only this, but because God made us all different, our job is to learn from each other, to learn from the strengths of each other. This is one of the wonderful things that Fran and I have developed in our marriage. We could learn from. I see the strengths that are in her. I know the strengths that are in her. And they just happen to be weaknesses that are in me. So God put us together so that we could learn from each other. Not to frustrate each other, but to learn from each other. And this is the way we are as a body of Christ as well. This is why we're so different. This is why God puts us all together and we're so different because God wants us to learn from each other. Your strengths might be my weaknesses and I need to learn from you, not be frustrated by you, but to learn from you. The eye, the Bible talks about the body of Christ as a body where the eye is not the hand and the hand is not the foot. And we're all different. We all have different strengths and different purposes and we're supposed to work together in unity as a body for one purpose. God's purpose. The other thing that God does and when we look around for other people, at other people and other things that they're going through, many times what we see is we see people in different seasons of their lives. I might be going through something that's very difficult, but maybe I just came out of a season where everything was going well. And oftentimes when we compare one person to another person, we expect everybody to be going through our season. We expect everybody to be, well, if I'm going through the hard time, then why isn't everybody else? And there's different seasons in our lives. Maybe it's a season where you're raising children and your life is consumed with raising children. Or maybe it's a season where you're going through school and your life is consumed with a lot of things and it's just seasons. And everybody is in a different season of life. Maybe you're entering that retiring age, or maybe your responsibilities are not as much. It's a different season in your life. And God has people in different seasons, and we can't look at everyone else and say, why aren't they in my season? Because the Bible says it's not wise to compare one against another. We expect everybody to be going through the same thing that we go through. I want you to turn to one other place. It's in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says this, no temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. See, whatever God has you in, whether it's like Ezekiel where he's laying on one side and or he's doing the things that he had to do, all these strange items, God will give you the grace to do it. That's what this verse means. That no attempt, nothing that we're going through is something that you can't bear. So God knows what you can bear because God put it in you. God knows what you could bear because God made you. He fashioned you. He knows the level which will cause you to have too much. But God knows that. And so he says, I'm not going to give that to you. Now this is if we keep our eyes on the Lord. If we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, then of course, everything looks like it's too much and it's overwhelming. But when we keep our eyes on God, he gives us nothing that will be too much for us. No temptation will be too much for you to bear. He'll make a way of escape. And often the way of escape is to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. We want the way of escape to be, let me out of here. And God says, sometimes the way of escape is I'm going to give you the peace to go through it. And we have to have our eyes focused on him to be able to escape the things that we're going through. God knows the limits. God put them there. God made them. He made us fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows how he's mixed you. He knows the grace that he's given you. He knows the abilities that he's given you. He wants you to keep focused on him, not looking around to the left or to the right, but to look up at him and keep our eyes focused on him. This is the way of escape, to look at him and keep our eyes trained on him, regardless of what's going on around and regardless of what others are getting, regardless of the promotions, regardless of the jobs, regardless of all the things, regardless of the material things or the spiritual, regardless. God knows the limits, and He won't give us anything beyond what we could handle. And so if you find yourself going through something that you say it's too much, keep your eyes focused on God. Keep your eyes trained on the one who could bring you through this, who could provide the way of escape, because none of us are the same. None of us are the same. But God is the one who knows the limits of all. And He is the one who could bring us through and bring us through as victors through everything. He is the one. Keep your eyes focused on Him, regardless of what's going on around you, and know that God is for you and not against you. His name be praised.